we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. How's it going? Hope you're having a good day. Traffic's not too bad for you, and that you are making a safe journey to work. My name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And we trust that you are having an absolutely wonderful, wonderful day. If you get an opportunity, we'd love to have you come out and be a part of what God is doing tonight. It's family night at Merritt Assembly of God. We got all sorts of ministry that is going on. And the adult Bible study begins at 7 o'clock. I'll be teaching that. And so we'd like to encourage you to come and be a part of that if you are available. So we want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 632-9538, 632-9538. And if you need any help with your air conditioning or your electrical, I encourage you to give them a call. They can work on all types of units, whether it's split units, package units, conventional units where you've got the air conditioning unit on the outside, the air handler on the inside. If you have electrical issues, if you need fixtures replaced, whatever it might be, panels replaced, they do that as well. Give them a call, 321-632-9538. They go all the way throughout the county, and they love Jesus with all their heart. And so I encourage you to give Dennis and Carla a call there, they will take good care of you. They are a blessing to the body of Christ. There was a person that they knew here a week or so ago that was in need of prayer, and they sent me a text message, hey, could you go and pray with this family? And I was like, absolutely. And so they're not just in business to make money. They are in business, and they are a blessing to the body of Christ. So I encourage you to give them a call, 632-9538. And they will take good care of you. I don't know about you, but I like dealing with people who are not there to take advantage of me. They are there to deal with us in truth. In fact, my family had some encounters here recently with a business. It's not one of them that we talk about here on the radio program. And we didn't get the feeling that they were there to just address the problems we needed to address. They were there to try and make some extra money off of us, and some of my family members didn't care for that much. I didn't care for that much. So we encourage you to deal with business people who are there, who are going to represent Christ well and meet the needs that others have in their life. So 632-9538, Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. Let's get to the Word of God today if we can. We're going to begin reading in verse number 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So yesterday we talked about that God loves justice and he hates robbery. It is not beyond the realm of comprehension that there are things that God loves and things that God hates. God loves holiness, he loves righteousness, and he hates sin. Sin is his definition, not my definition, not your definition. It's God's definition. So I want to do those things that please him, not those things that displease him. I want to do those things that he loves, not those things that he hates. If there is something in my life and the Bible tells me that it is an abomination unto the Lord, I need that out of my life. I need that forgiven. I need it replaced. And I need God to show me what it is that pleases him. If you want a study that will challenge you, do that. Study the scripture. Find out the things that God loves. Find out the things that he hates. Find out the things that please him and those things that displease him. And get the good things in, get the bad things out. And you'll find that life goes a lot better for you. The other thing we talked about on yesterday's broadcast is that God wants to direct our work. He's the one that should be in charge. That's very difficult for we Westerners to comprehend, that there is a being that we cannot see who wants to tell us what to do. We don't like to be told what to do. We hear things from kids' mouths very early. You're not the boss of me. Well, God is the one who knows the beginning and the end and the process in between. And so I encourage you, allow him to be the one that leads you and directs you. In fact, I make no bones about it. I'm spoiled. I have been so blessed of the Lord for the past nearly 32 years that just about every job that I have had, I didn't have to apply for. The ones I did apply for, I didn't get. The ones that I didn't apply for, that God brought them into my life. And so that is not what you would call typical. Typical is, you know, you are told to sell yourself, you know, promote yourself. If you don't toot your own horn will not be tooted. And I tell you, I much prefer the scripture that says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. And so that's kind of the way that I like it. I like for the fact that if God leads me, it's going to have fruit and byproduct that is going to speak for itself. And God wants to make an everlasting covenant. He wants to make that covenant with you and with me. And, I think that is a mark of distinction. You know, not very often do you read in a favorable light people who were unfaithful to their spouse and all of that sort of thing. And then when they died, they just died. But here recently, there was a story that made the rounds for over a week, because I saw it in different places, about a couple that was married for 69 years. And one of them became sick, and then the other one became sick, and they both ended up in the hospital, and they ended up finally in a hospital, and the family convinced them to put them into the same room, and they'd been married for 69 years, and they were holding hands, and while they were holding hands, the wife passed away, and they continued to let the husband hold the hand until they could get in there and take care of the body. And once they told her dad, she's gone, just a short period of time after the wife had passed away, he passed away. I don't know about you, but I like to hear about stories like that. The family said, he knew that once he had taken care of her in this life, that it was time for him to go and enjoy life with her, with Jesus. An everlasting covenant. Too many times we're looking for the exit. I eat lunch on a pretty frequent basis with people who have a military background. And one of the things that I have discovered is that when they go into a restaurant, they do not go into it just as a casual person, oh, just set me wherever. They go in and they are looking for all of the access points. They're looking for all of the exits, and they are looking for the route of escape should anything bad happen. That's all part of their training. But there are a lot of people who have that same philosophy when it comes to their relationships in life. They're looking for the exit plan. There's an actual term that is out there right now that has been designed for millennials, and that is that they may be in one relationship, but they've got a backup plan that is in the motion. If this one doesn't work out, you know, if this person doesn't meet my needs, and I forget what the name of that is this morning, I can't quite remember it. It's something like shielding or something like that. They've got someone there that if this doesn't work out, then this over here will. And I want to encourage you that if you're in covenant with a person right now, say, there is no exit from this for me. You know, I did not ask my wife to marry me until I was persuaded that no matter what happened, I was going to be able to love her as Christ loved the church. Not just richer or poorer, not just sickness and in health, but no matter what life threw at us, I was not going to bail on her. That's the type of relationship that God wants to have with you and I. Now, those things have benefits that will be passed on to our descendants, and that's what we're going to talk about the rest of the broadcast today. So I want to encourage you, love justice, hate injustice, hate taking advantage of other people. Let God be in charge and walk in everlasting covenant with him. And here's what that's going to do for your descendants. Your descendants will be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. In other words, people are going to take notice of your kids and of your grandkids. A great compliment that you might give me is what wonderful kids I have. And I do. I've got wonderful kids. I'm blessed. They are excellent at what they do. They perfect? Nope, not perfect. Are they excellent at what they do? Absolutely. And one of the things that I like is when people see the qualities of their relationship with God inside of them. And you know, I'm thankful for that. There are a lot of different things my wife and I could have done through the years. We could have screwed up our kids immensely. we really could. Our kids could be just completely and totally dysfunctional had we made some different choices, but we consider ourselves blessed. Listen, our road may not have been an easy road, but it has been a God-led road, and we might not be in some of the plush conditions that other people might be in. But I tell you what, I wouldn't change what I see going on in my kids' life. I wouldn't change any of my decisions in the past because of how they've turned out. You see, when I gave God my best because he gave me his best, he's now working in the lives of my descendants and my, you know, our kids and our grandchild, that I have every confidence. You see, the Bible talks about the sins of the father being passed on to three or four generations, but it talks about the blessings of the righteous being carried out to 1,000 generations. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for 1,000 generations of my descendants walking in the favor of God and experiencing his blessing at every turn. He says, people are going to take notice of them, not just people that you know, but people that you don't know. Not just people who are like you, but people who are not anything at all like you. They are going to take notice, and all who see them will acknowledge that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. That's what I really want to see for my kids, that people see, hey, not only are you intelligent, not are you talented, not are you wise, but that you are blessed of the Lord. and that God is causing everything that they put their hand to do to prosper. And so I look at my kids and I say, you know what? They're going to be just fine. They're going to be just fine. Does it mean that they're going to be as famous as celebrities? No. Wouldn't want it for them. In fact, deliberately chose for that not to be a reality in their life. You see, everybody in my family is photogenic except for me. People, there are all sorts of people wanting us to, for our kids to go into this field and that field. And I looked at the byproducts of what those fields produced. And I said, you know, I don't want that for my kids. I want them to have the hand of the Lord operating in their life, that people will look at them and say, wow, you are the blessed of the Lord. What better reputation could you hope for your kids? What better quality of life? And so we've talked about this, that if we will, Isaiah 61, if we will allow the Spirit of the Lord to operate in us, if we will set ourselves under the ministry of the anointed of the Lord, if we will exchange things that are not easy to give up, but if we will lay them down so that God can be glorified in our life, then we are not only going to see God turn around our situation, we're going to see His hand of blessing and provision and guidance operating in our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids, to the point that people inside the church, people outside the church will notice, hey, you're a little bit different. You know, you have to know how to take compliments from people. And so one of the times I'll be preaching at my the church I grew up in later this summer. And I'll never forget one of the times that I went and I preached there, someone came up and said, you know, we always knew when you were growing up that there was something different about you. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, you have to know how to take that, because not everything that comes out of people's mouths are going to come out in the form of a compliment. Sometimes they come out in the form of a left-handed compliment. And so you need to interpret things through the filter of grace. That may be a good word for somebody today. Don't be offended if somebody says something to you the wrong way. In fact, if you come up to me and tell me that my kids are more gifted than I am, I'm not going to take that as an insult. I'm going to take that as a compliment. So I want you today to be willing to allow God to operate in you in a manner in which He is going to love you, bless you, transform your situation, promote you as a priest of the Lord and as a servant of the Most High God, to the point that it is going to be a blessing in your kids' lives. You see, I told God, said, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go wherever you want me to go. But God, I'm not going to sacrifice my kids. You don't ask me for child sacrifice. And so I'm going to love them, because they are not going to be a casualty of ministry. They are going to be blessed because of ministry. That's my mindset. That's my attitude. And so when I talk to young ministers and young pastors and someone says, what would you tell your kids? It's that. Don't sacrifice your family for ministry. Love them, serve God, and allow them to be blessed because of what God has called you and equipped you to do. Anyway, let's move on. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. I want to ask you, when it comes time to worship, the next time you're gathered corporately, how are you going to do that? Are you going to do it begrudgingly? Are you going to do it there sitting with your arms crossed? Are you going to do it with your lips shut? Or are you going to say, you know what? I'm going to use my mind, my will, and my emotions, and I am going to be joyful in my God, not because of my circumstances, but because I am in Christ. I can rejoice because I'm in Christ and that I am not facing my circumstances alone. And then I want to ask you to do this. Can you kick it up a notch? Can you join Isaiah and say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Do it greatly. You know, we'll talk about rejoicing and how God rejoices over us a little bit later in our study in Isaiah that's coming up. But I want to encourage you to kick that up a notch and say, I'm not just going to be joyful in my God. I'm not just going to be joyful physically. I'm going to be joyful emotionally. I'm going to be joyful in my soul. I'm going to greatly rejoice in His sovereignty in my life. I want to encourage you to do that. It talks about He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And then it describes that those things are done like a person preparing for a wedding, like a bridegroom is dressed and as a bride is dressed. And so I want you to see today that salvation and righteousness are not humble garments, they're glorious garments. They are supposed to be our garments of distinction. You know, if you were to see a bride on her wedding day, you know, the way that most brides are traditionally dressed, you'd know, hey, she's getting married today. She's on her way to her wedding. You would see a bridegroom decked out, and, you know, I was married in a tux. I don't wear a tuxedo every day. I wanted people to know, hey, I am on my way today to start a new adventure with my wife in an everlasting covenant. And, it, you know, we may not dress like this every day, but today we're letting everybody know this is a brand new journey. And so I want you to know today that as a child of God, that our garments of salvation and our robes of righteousness, those are things that are given by God to us. They're like the coat of many colors that was given to Joseph. It is a sign that we are favored of the Lord and that we are blessed of God. And you don't have to feel sorry for me. Listen, when you see pictures of my wife on our wedding day, she is glowing from ear to ear, and not one of those pictures do I see written behind the eyes, oh, feel sorry for me because of the fact that I'm getting married today. I don't see that. There is joy, and believe me, that had to be a work of God because I wasn't all that much to look at back when we got married, and we were getting married in the ministry, and so that didn't necessarily mean a whole lot financially was coming our way, but it was like God has given me someone to do this journey with together, and don't feel sorry for me. Rejoice with me. This is going to be a great journey. The road of salvation and the path of righteousness is for His name's sake. And so I encourage you today, don't go around looking mad because you're a Christian or sad because you're a Christian, but go around and make people wonder what is going on in your life and say, hey, you know, the God that wiped away all my sins can wipe away your sins too. I am the blessed of the Lord and I am highly favored. We're gonna end up Isaiah 61 here today. It says, for as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now, what this passage describes is that there was a seed that was intentionally sown into a garden in an environment that it was going to spring forth. It was going to be beautiful. It was going to bud. It was going to be fruitful. And it was going to be productive. And God says, I will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. How did that happen? First of all, it happened intentionally. It happened because God loves you and he loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. You see, Jesus was the seed that was intentionally sown. His word is intentionally sown. He talks about building a wall and making sure that things that would try and attack the seed are not allowed to attack the seed, and things that would try and keep it unproductive, that they're not allowed in there. And he says, I'm going to cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. And I want you to know today that today I'm not focused on my righteousness. I'm focused on the righteousness of Christ that is a gift from him to me. You and I are called to be righteous today because of the work that Jesus has done. I pray that everyone who's listening to this program would be believing with me that what Jesus came to bring, that it would spring up here in Brevard County, that righteousness would spring up here in Brevard County. You see, he loves righteousness, but he also wants praise to spring up. And that is something that you and I are called to do. I pray today that just as at the day of the triumphal entry, where Jesus told those who were trying to get the people to shut up, he said, look, if they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out in their place. I pray today that we would realize that this is the day that we are to praise the Lord, that God is going to do something in you and I that is going to cause praise to erupt from our situation, and it's going to take place in the midst of all the community. Can we just end this program today with the praise of God on our lips? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you today. We praise you. We thank you for loving us so much, for giving us your life, for giving us forgiveness, for giving us hope and a future. God, I want to thank you for turning disarray into something that is beautiful and productive. God, we want to thank you for every good and perfect gift that you have brought into our life, every person, every breath. Lord, may the praise of God erupt here in Brevard County today. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.